O Giver, show us the glimpse of your darshan. This is Sanchi's bhajan, Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, page 234. Since a long time, the thirst has been felt in the heart. In the chest, the wounds of yearning are caused. Extinguish, O Giver, the burning of life. In your love, I have become mad. In your remembrance, I lost my life. O Giver, make the true Satguru come and meet me. We are separated in the illusion. You are sitting in Satchkhand. O Giver, remove the veil from our mind. Kripalji, come, make us have your darshan. Kul Ajab, making him drink the nectar. O Giver, make us drink the nectar of Nam. O Giver, show us the glimpse of your darshan.
Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, Tu Darsha Dijalaka Dikade Dataji, Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, Tu Darsha Dijalaka Dikade Dataji. Chira dia dila vicha lagia tanga sine chavaja dia birho dia sanga chira dia dila vicha lagia tanga sine chavaja dia birho dia sanga Bujade, Bujade, Bujade Dataji, Tu Jindari Ditapasha Bujade Dataji, Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, Tu Darsha Dijalaka Dikade Dataji, Prema tere vicha pagali hoi, yada tere vicha jindari koi. Prema tere vicha pagali hoi, yada tere vicha jindari koi. Milade, Milade, Milade Dataji, Satcha Satguru Ana Milade Dataji, Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, Tu Darsha Dijalaka Dikade Dataji, Asi bichure ha paramacha ake apatubeta sachikanda jake Asi bichure ha paramacha ake apatubeta sachikanda jake Hatade, Hatade, Hatade Dataji, Sademana Uto Parada Hatade Dataji, Dikade, Dikade, Dikade Dataji, Tutarisha Dijalika Dikade Dataji, Darsha Dika O Kirapala Ji Ake Ajaiba Nyutaro Amarita Pyake Darsha Dika O Kirapala Ji Ake Ajaiba Nyutaro Amarita Pyake Pilade, Pilade, Pilade Dataji, Sanu amarita nama pilade tataji. Dikade, dikade, dikade tataji. Tu darsha di jalaka dikade tataji.
Kirpalji, come and make us have your darshan. Kul Ajab, making him drink the nectar. O giver, make us drink the nectar of Nam. O giver, show us the glimpse of your darshan. One brief announcement, a reminder that Saturday, September 14th, we're going to have a one-day meditation retreat in honor of Sanchi's birthday. And as always, schedules and sign-up sheets are at the book table. And if you want to come and stay overnight accommodations, please let the ashram know as soon as possible. And last week we began reading a satsang that that Master Kripal gave in December of 1972. That was at the end of the Third World Tour. This talk was given in Florida, and it was called The Coming Spiritual Revolution. And Master has been talking about the need to experience things for ourselves, to open the inner eye, to open the inner ear. So continuing, Master says, so why can't we see? Again, I would say, enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds not less dark. For without a perfect man, none has found the way, nor can one do so. As I submitted yesterday, you know, we do need somebody to guide us in the outer ways, at the level of the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. And this is the way which is where all philosophies end and true religion starts. So somebody is needed to usher you into the beyond, to raise you above body consciousness and withdraw your attention from outside and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Here, such a person is required. There also you will need him to guide you further. So, before one comes across a perfect master, he cannot see. When he comes to the feet of a master, he begins to see. We are dead before coming to him, in the terminology of the saints. When he gives us sitting, we become alive. When we come to him, we are deaf, spiritually deaf. When he gives us sitting, we begin to hear the sound, the voice of God. Jesus said, you see, you see what the prophets and righteous men desired to see but could not. You hear what they desired to hear and could not. Are you people not most fortunate to have a living master? So, body is verily the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost dwells within it. Emerson says, tap inside. President Truman used to say when he was tired with his outer performances and duties, he would enter into the, quote, foxhole of the brain, unquote. The Vedas call it Brahmarendra. Perception, intuition, and reasoning just help to understand reality to a certain extent, not beyond. You are understanding all this, you see, at the level of the intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eye, the inner eye, that is an ingress we know little or nothing about. This is what the masters give. Nanak says, the blind know not the door, And Christ refers to it, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And, "Whoever hears my voice, I will sup with him, and he with me." So we will have to revert to the third eye, the latent eye, or the Shiv Netra within us. God said, "Let there be light." And the result was what? There was light. Genesis says so. And this is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That life, that light, is the life of man. Such light is within you. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. All scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life. They go hand in hand. The ringing radiance, you might say. The ringing radiance emanating from the formless, absolute existence when it came to manifest the world in its variegated colors and countless shapes and forms. Thank God, He has made all creation, and He is still not away from that. He permeates in the world. He permeates in all creation. He is still quite above all creation. So, this pervades all four grand divisions of the universe. Kabir says, "I went to Mecca. On the way, God met me and began to rebuke me. O Kabir, who told you I am residing here? Am I not in you? Why are you coming here?" If the one we are after resides in us and we leave this body and go searching in outer things, can we ever find him? At the most, they can give us an incentive toward our goal, that we should know God. Nothing more. The places of pilgrimage, holy temples, they remind us that there is something, there is some God. They sing praises there. Can we see God? Guru Nanak was put this very blunt question, and he said, "Yes, God is pervading everywhere." Masters say what they see. They don't give any reason for it because they are competent to give a demonstration of that and let you see. He is nearer to you than your hands and limbs. The Hindu scriptures say, "He is so near to you, nothing in the world is nearer to you. He is the very life of you." And Kabir says, "Once I was in doubt, but really it is so. Because when my eye was open, I really saw him. Then all my delusions have gone. All my doubts have vanished. I see him everywhere." This is one function of the Master. We confound him with the teachers of the world, with due respect to them all, at whose feet we have learned something. But this is something which begins where all philosophies end. When your contact with the physical body and your outgoing faculties are set aside. Shams Tabriz was asked, "What about God?" And he said, "Don't believe unless you see God." You see? Masters also say, "Don't believe in the words of the Master unless you can testify yourself that this is so." You must have something to start with. It may be little or more. How much depends on each man's background, but you must have something to start with. A man comes up and gives a very wonderful talk on business principles. It's very informative. But the poor fellows to whom the talk is given have no money to start with. So all teachers promise to go on doing this, doing that. You'll have it after some time. You must be prepared. You must be ready. You'll get it at the time of death. Be rest assured. Your life will be insured. Well, don't believe that. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Give your all and then you'll have everything? No, I don't think so. You must have seen first. He does not want anything from you. He says, I've come to give. It's God's gift. Have it free. Do you have to pay for sunlight, for air? Then why, for the gift of God, should we have to pay? That's the first thing, you see. Masters come to give, not to take. They stand on their own legs, and as Shams Tabriz said, you should be able to see the beloved within you with your own eye, which you have got within, and you should be able to hear his voice with your own inner ear. Now the question comes, how to open that eye with which he can be seen? He says, when you close your eyes, there's darkness. Look penetratingly into it. Put your whole attention into it. That is knocking on the door, you see, and it shall be opened. You continue to look directly into that, and you will find light. Who will see that light? Your very self. You will find all saints. Tulsi Sahib, Shams Tabriz, all say the same thing. Sit down in meditation. Nothing comes up for years and years. Tulsi says, how to penetrate this darkness? Sit at the feet of a master. He gives you a boost, you see, light. Is it not wonderful? Is it not a miracle? What more miracle is required? You see, unless a man rises above the life of senses, the inner way is not open. It is you who have to see. That is why it is said, know thyself, O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. What are we? Conscious entities. We have got attention. When the attention is diverted from outside and concentrated to our very own self, there you see the light. Very simple. Do you see the common sense point of what is being put before you? He says further, why do we not see him? Because of the ramification of the mind. Ripples are going on in the subconscious reservoir of our mind. Until those ripples stand still, you cannot see him. It's something like a pond covered with weeds. If you take out the weeds little by little every day, you can look in the water and see your face. And what are those weeds? Your body. The body is the beginning of all delusion. We are having the body, and we are working at the level of the body. The body is changing every minute of life, being made of matter. All the world around is changing, since it is also made of matter, at the same speed at which our body is changing. As we are identified with it, this is an optical illusion. It appears to be stationary. How can we come out of that? This is the demonstration which is given by the Master. If you are identified with the mind, the outgoing faculties and intellect, and you have recourse to the methods or practices which are concerned with those things, how can you rise above them? So rise above body consciousness. This is given out by all masters. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Be reborn. Be twice born. do withdraw your attention from outside and the body below. Come to the seat of the soul in the body. This is called meditation. And meditation is the way back to God, which can only be had in the man body and in no other. All the gods and goddesses hanker to have the man body for this reason. So Kabir says, O man, why do you boast that you are the highest if you have not known God? Your greatness lies only in the fact that you can see God. If you've not seen him, how can you say anything? It is not a matter of only speaking, you see, giving long or tall talks. Naturally, prayer arises from the failure of our own efforts. When all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds. We pray to whom? A weak man prays to a strong man, or to God. O God, we are helpless. We are stuck fast in this prison house of the man body. How can we come out? It is locked on all sides. O God, send us some man who can take us out of the box of the man body. This is what Maulana Rumi and Swamiji, Guru Nanak, and all other masters pray. Someone asked Guru Amar Das, how can you say what your outgoing faculties are? And he said, sit down and see. Sit down and see how your outgoing faculties are working. And then what happens? When your attention is withdrawn from outside, the body, for all practical purposes, is dead. You've got no feeling in the body. When you rise above that physical level, you see the light of God. If this is something you can do by yourself, welcome you are. What more is wanted? Or go to the masters, about whom we speak so much. If they can do it, well and good. That is why I have said that a spiritual revolution is required, not at the level of the body, but at the level of the evil propensities which have taken you away from God. Now the springtime has come. The times have changed. The first thing required is a guru or master who has seen. Who has seen and can make us see. Guru means light sprouts forth out of the most bleak darkness. That is the elementary criterion of a master. Not a lot of words. You are not ready, you must be ready, this and that thing. In the old days, it was done like that. Now, times have changed. Who can sit at the feet of a master for years? So they give you something to start with. Now, maintain it. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. So the first thing required is a guru or master. And what is a guru? Word made flesh is called a guru. God has manifested himself in a man body and called him a guru. We respect him. The powerhouse works through a bulb, and there is light. But the powerhouse can only work through a bulb which is not fused. You see? We respect the bulb, of course, but when it is fused, then another bulb is put on. That light coming through is the God power, called Master power or Christ power. That never dies. It goes on working from pole to pole to guide the child humanity back to God. This is one thing that is required. It is said, if you want to see God, go to someone who has seen God. He who has not seen God, how can he let you see? So now you see what is meant by master or guru as compared with the other teachers of the world, for whom we have respect as they teach us something of the outer world. How respectful and grateful should we be to such a man who gives us this? Once it happened with our master, you see, there was a Christian missionary at his place, Beas, who came to him and asked, "Look here, who's greater, Christ or your guru?" He very politely replied, "Look here, I have seen my guru, I've not seen Christ. If you make him appear to me, I will meet with him too." So these bodies leave, but that power does not leave. That continues. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is a law of nature. The child which was born 1,000 years back, 100 years back, or now, God made arrangement for milk in the mother before the birth. Don't you think that will continue further? This is the law of nature, you see, God's law. The master is the first thing required, and the second thing is true living. Ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. We are all brothers and sisters in God, drops of the ocean of all consciousness, no high, no low. And that power whom we worship controls us in the body. Don't have any hatred because you're a man of position, because you're a learned man, because you're a rich man. All are equal. Some are standing at the table, some are sitting in the chair. That is due to the reaction of past karmas. And then comes chastity of thought. That defiles the whole body. You cannot expect God to manifest in a body that's full of filth. And then comes violence in word, deed, and thought. All this filth comes through the mind, which defiles the man body. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You cannot expect God to manifest in a filthy home. He's there already, but he won't manifest. If a bulb is there with light within it, but it is covered over with black spots, can you see any light? So this is what is required, true living. And the third thing is, you know, they take you and give you the direct inner way back to God. They don't touch your outer rituals and forms and labels, your outer way of living. They allow you to remain in your own social bodies. And there are so many, more than 700. He's not going to make another new form. Our master was once asked by some people, "Why don't you start a new religion?" And he said, "There are so many wells dug up already. Why should I dig up a new well? The water is already there. The basic teachings of all masters have been the same. Why not take it?" He did not form any new religion. Masters come to maintain. They come to fulfill, not to destroy. And they love all. When they come, they are not the monopoly of any sect or religion, not the monopoly of the East or the West. They come for all the world over, just as the sun rises and gives light to all the world over. They come for all. Their teachings are very simple and to the point, and are the most easy and most natural as compared with all the other ways of yoga. They don't tell you to follow this ritual or that ritual, this form or that form, this level or that level. They simply give you a lift from the body, raise you above the body, and open your inner eye to see the light of God. That is the capital that they give you to start at the very first. After all, we have to leave the body. They give a demonstration of how to leave the body. If you have day-to-day regular practice, what do you find? At the time of leaving your body at death, you are jolly. You will go smiling because you know how to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lie within you. They don't give you the outer ways of living or rituals or the customs of the various social bodies because they are not going to form any new religion. They come only to bring the religion of God, the religion of love. So this is what they say, that God resides in you, and the Master is one who can withdraw your attention, give you something to start with, take you out of the delusion of the man body, so you can see for yourself. You are not to wait until the end of your life. As I just suggested, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. This is it, you see. There is God, and he can be manifested by the Word made flesh, not by those who are embodied as men, but have not risen above body consciousness. We have respect for anyone at whose feet we have learned something, but this is what is truly meant by a master, he who can give you God as a gift, excuse me, like a fruit given to somebody. So remain where you are. You've taken the first step. The next step is at the feet of someone who sees and makes you see. And for that, true living is required. But they don't want you to leave your outer customs or social bodies. And that concludes that talk. And this is another question and answer session with Sanchi in Rajasthan. This is a Q&A on December 28th, 1983. So a dear one asks, I would like to ask, as a practical matter, how can we increase our willpower? And Sanchi says, willpower for what? Disciple, to live the life the way Master teaches us to. And Sanchi says, we can increase our willpower by obeying the commandments of the Master as much as possible. By having both fear of the Master and love for the Master within us and by doing our meditation. As we understand that food is necessary for our body to function, in the same way, we should understand that meditation is also necessary for our soul to function. By doing all those things and by loving the Master, we can increase the willpower. In the beginning, it's very difficult to have the willpower or even the desire to do the meditation. But if we do all the things which I said earlier, and if we try to increase our willpower for doing meditation, after some time we will find that the willpower changes into the form of greed. Then the meditator feels the greed of having the meditation, and he always feels the greed of having the love of the Master and having the darshan of the Master. And he always thinks that he should not sleep more. He always has greed for doing the meditation and having experiences as much as possible. And a dear one says, Master, when you say we should develop fear for the Master as well as love, Is developing fear for the master, a gift of the master, the same as love is? Sanchi, we misuse the love given to us by the master. That is why we do not understand why we should be afraid of the master. And that is why we do not understand the importance of having the fear of the master. Just imagine that if any relative has come to visit you, because you love him, you would be afraid to do anything bad in his presence, because you are afraid that if you do anything bad in front of him, he might get upset at you. And in order to please him and to maintain your appearance in front of him, you will not commit even a little sin or even a little bad deed in front of him. In the same way, if we have love for the master, when we develop love for the master within us, when the love and attachment for all the worldly things disappears within us, then the fear of the master comes automatically within us. Because we do not awaken that love within us, we are not afraid of pleasing or displeasing the master. When the love is awakened and manifested within us, the fear of the master also comes within by itself. One Mahatma had two disciples. Even though they both were initiated by him, one would only talk a lot, while the other would do the practical things. He would meditate and obey the commandments of the master. Because he had only two disciples, he didn't want that after he died, they would fight over who would become the successor. So he wanted to put both of them to a test, and he wanted to see who had understood his teachings and who had practically done what he was telling them to do. So he called both of them and gave them two pigeons and told them to go and kill them at such a place where nobody was seeing. Sorry. So the one who was only talking and not doing anything practical, he took the pigeon on one side and went into a room and killed that pigeon and brought it back, saying, "Master, I fulfilled that task. I obeyed your order very soon. Here is the dead pigeon. I have killed it where nobody was seeing." Now the other disciple, who knew the inner secret of the master and who knew what the master really was, because he had manifested that master power within him, he went everywhere, even in the dark rooms. He locked himself up in many dark rooms and many remote places where nobody could see or even think of coming there, but he could not find any place where the master was not seeing. He even closed his eyes. He closed the eyes of the pigeon, but he couldn't close the eyes of the master who was manifested within him and was seeing every single action that he was doing. So after wandering here and there for many days, he came back with the pigeon alive and returned it to the master, saying, "Master, I'm sorry that I could not fulfill this task. I could not obey your order, because I couldn't find any place where you were not present. Even though I tried going up on the hill, I went underground and everywhere, I could not find any place where you were not present. Even when everybody else in the world was sleeping, I thought at that time that nobody was watching me, but even then I saw you watching me. Even then, I saw that you were protecting me and that you were looking at me. So I'm sorry that I could not obey your order." So the master was very pleased with that disciple, and he embraced him and made him his successor. Now the other disciple was also seeing that, and he was surprised. So the master clarified it for him. He said, "You cannot compete with him, because he has understood my teachings, since he has done the practical part of my teachings and has manifested that power which is working within me, and that power is working everywhere. When you realize that the power which is manifested in a master is present everywhere, then it's natural that you will have fear of it, because master power resides everywhere. You just see that the master gave the orders to both disciples, and the order was to kill this pigeon at a place where nobody would see. The one who was talking and not doing the meditation, he took the words of the master literally, and he went to a place where nobody of the world was seeing and killed the pigeon. But the other person took it practically, and he went everywhere, but he could not find any place where master was not watching. So all the disciples, all the initiates, have their own point of view, and that is why they understand the teachings differently. But master is always pleased with those disciples who understand the teachings practically and those who become practically successful in practicing the path. Baba Bishan Das often used to tell this story about one Muslim man who was hungry, and he went to a village, and nobody would give him any food. So he told the children who were playing there that if they would bring some food from their homes, he would tell them the story of Hir and Ranja, who were the great lovers in a place called Jung. Nobody knows if this story is real or if it's just a creation of the writers or the poets, because no evidence is found that can say that it really happened. People say that in the place called Jahang, Hir and Ranja were great lovers. Their love was not of the worldly nature. They were spiritual lovers, and still people remember them as great lovers. Many writers and poets have written many long stories and songs about their love. Even many books have been published on their love and on their lives. So that Muslim man who was hungry, he told the children to go and bring him some food, and he would sing them the story of Hir and Ranja. Since the Hir and Ranja story is very popular, and the children wanted to hear the story, they brought the food and they gave the food to that young man. After he had eaten, that young man didn't say anything. He did not start telling the story. So the children were surprised, and they told the man to start telling the story of Hir and Ranja, because he had promised them. So the young man said, "What to talk about Hir and Ranja? What's the story of Hir and Ranja? It's nothing." Hir was a daughter of some Muslim, and Ranja was the son of a Muslim, and they used to love each other. And their love was not of a worldly nature. Their love was very pure. So, this is the only story. The poets and writers have written so much about their love. They've given so many examples, so many parables and things like that, but this is only the gist of what they have written. So the meaning of telling this story is, Baba Bishan Das used to say, just do one thing that the master has told you to do, and then everything will be manifested and awakened within you. Just develop the love that the masters talk about for the master within you. And when the love will develop, and when you will manifest that love within, then the fear for him will also come, and the obedience, and everything else will be manifested. Everything else will come of itself. Sufi Saint Bulishah had written, "Calling Ranja, Ranja, I myself have become Ranja. Now no one should call me Here, because here is lost, and I am Ranja." He says, Since the love between here and Ranja was very great and very pure, here also used to repeat the name of Ranja. And she lost the memory of her name and started asking her friends, "Have you seen here?" Her friends would reply, "Who are you? Are you not here?" And she would say, "No, I am not here. Here is lost, and I am now Ranja." It means that when the disciple of the Master repeats the name given by the Master, if he absorbs in that name, he will forget his memory. He will forget his existence. He'll be lost in the remembrance of the Master. He will die in the remembrance of the Master, and the living God will start talking to him. And then he will not even remember whether he is talking or whether the power he is remembering is talking to him. Yesterday, in the bhajan which Patiji sang, in the last line it says, "The beautiful husband Kripal is met, and now Ajaib has become his." Ajaib is like a wife of Kripal, and she has been sold to Kripal for no money, for nothing. And now she has become of Kripal. It is very difficult for one to understand himself as the wife when he is a male. But when we become conscious within, when we come to realize the inner knowledge, then even if we don't try, still these words come out from within us, that whether you know me or not, I am your wife, and I am sacrificing for you thousands of times. Those whose inner veil gets lifted from within, their worldly love goes away, and the true love for the Master remains there, and at that place no attachment or love for the world remains, only love for the Master. Such a person whose veil is lifted does not have any will of his own. Whatever he does, that happens in the will of the Master. He works in accordance with the wishes of the Master. And another disciple asks, "Can a disciple who's shot by the bullet of love, as you've referred to in Santbani magazine, can that disciple still function in the world?" Sanchi, "Instead, he will function in this world in a much better way, because he will then understand his duty to all the things which he is supposed to do. And while working in the world, he will remain unattached to the dirt of it." Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say that this world is not bad, but don't make it your own. He used to say that the meditator lives in this world like the waterfowl lives in the water, but whenever he flies with dry wings. In the same way, even though the meditator lives in the world, he's unaffected by the dirt of the world. He used to say that the Mahatmas live in this world like that fly who comes and sits on the bowl of honey and tastes the honey and flies away without getting her wings or legs in the honey. Whereas the worldly people live in this world like that fly which goes and sits in the center of that bowl of honey. Neither are they able to eat that honey, nor are they able to get released from that bowl, because whenever they try to get their legs out of that bowl of honey, their wings are stuck in it. And whenever they try to get their wings out of the honey, their legs are stuck in there. So finally, they die in that honey without tasting it. He used to say that, in fact, the saints are the only ones who enjoy life in the true sense, because the love for Almighty Lord has been awakened within them. And because of the support of that love, that they enjoy the world and they do their work. That love was awakened in Christ. That's why he did not see the cross as the cross. He did not mind climbing the cross. He kissed the cross, and in fact, he was very happy to be crucified. Just imagine if anyone tells you that you're going to be hanged. What will happen to you? This strong body of 6 feet will start trembling like anything. But Christ did not tremble when he was supposed to climb the cross. He had the real love within him. Real love is such a thing that it does not leave any distinction between pain and happiness. It does not leave any feeling of distinction between pain and happiness in the person within whom that love is awakened. But what do we, the worldly people, do? Since that love is not manifested in us, when the pain comes, we complain, and we discontinue loving the Master. We break our love and faith in the Master. And when the happiness comes, we're happy and overjoyed, and then we start loving the Master. Those in whom the real love has been manifested do not see any difference between pain and happiness. This love was awakened in Guru Arjan Dev. He was shot by the bullet of love, and that is why he did not pay any attention to what the people were saying against him or for him. Even though the rulers of that time tortured him to death, they made him sit on hot coals, they poured hot sand on his head, they even made him sit in hot water, he didn't complain because that love was manifested within him. Even after suffering so much pain by the people, he didn't curse anyone because he had real love for everyone. And he saw that in everyone that Almighty Lord was working. Mian Mir came to Guru Arjan Dev and said, "Master, it's very painful for me to see you suffering like this. If you consent, I can raise the city of Lahore to the ground." But Guru Arjan Dev replied, "No, Mian Mir, I can also do that. But to live in the will of God is the sweetest thing in the world." Why did he say such things? Why didn't he complain? Why did he not curse the people, even though they tortured him? Because that love was awakened in him. He said, "Those who are giving me pain, they do not belong to anyone else. They also belong to the same God to whom I belong. And whatever is happening to me, that is happening in the will of God." He saw God in everyone only because that love, that God, was manifested within him. Guru Gobind Singh had a disciple who was called Bhai Mani Singh, who lived with Guru Gobind Singh from early childhood. He would do the seva in the langar and all the things which Guru Gobind Singh would tell him to do. He would do his seva very well. And along with doing the seva, he would also do his meditation. So he was a very good disciple of Guru Gobind Singh, and he lived for many years, even after Guru Gobind Singh left the body. Now, you know that Guru Gobind Singh was also tormented by the Muslim people, the Mughal emperors, and whenever they would capture any Sikh disciples of Guru Gobind Singh, they would give them a very hard time. So when Bhai Mani Singh was arrested by the Mughal army, he was given the punishment that his body would be cut into pieces and the cuts would be made where the joints are. So when he was brought for that punishment, the butcher hesitated because he thought that it was not just for a man to give such a punishment to another man. But Bhai Mani Singh did not complain. He was very happy. He said, "No, you should obey your master. Whatever you have been ordered to do, you should do that." And very gladly, he accepted that punishment, and he didn't curse anyone. It was very terrible to accept that, but he didn't complain. He didn't curse anyone. Is this not a story of love? Is this not an example of the manifestation of true love in a disciple? It's very obvious from the writings of Bhai Mani Singh, which were found later on, that he was a Brahmgyani, and Guru Gobind Singh, his master, was manifested within him. And he had manifested that power also within him, which was working in Guru Gobind Singh. And only because he was shot with the bullet of love, because that love was manifested within him, he suffered everything for the cause of his master. And in the name of the master, he did not complain and he did not curse anyone. I've often said that Guru Gobind Singh didn't have any jealousy or enmity toward any community or religion, and he didn't fight for becoming the ruler of India or anything like that. He fought with the Mughal army only to save the religion, to save the honor of the people. Because in those days, the Mughal army was killing many saints and devotees of God, and nobody's religion, nobody's life was protected. The Mughal soldiers used to kidnap the girls of the Hindus, and they would not allow the Hindus to worship. So those people who loved mankind, they all came to Guru Gobind Singh and they requested him to fight for religion, for the sake of mankind. And that is why he took up the sword and became a warrior. All those who came to Guru Gobind Singh had come only to receive love, and he gave only love to those who came to him. That's why in his bani he writes, "Listen, O man, I am telling you the true thing. Those who have realized love have manifested God within them." Aurangzeb, the Mughal emperor at that time, was a very cruel emperor, and he had not even spared his brothers. He had killed his father to become the emperor, and Guru Gobind Singh had to fight with him. Guru Nanak had written that saints do not frighten anyone, and they're not afraid of anyone, because the love is manifested within them. But Guru Gobind Singh had to take up the sword and had to become a warrior, because he had to shake the roots of that Mughal empire, which were very deep in India. And it's true that after fighting with Guru Gobind Singh, the roots were shaken so badly that after that, no Mughal emperor was able to rule over India. When the disciples of Guru Gobind Singh had to fight with the royal army, many were killed in that battle. Many were injured. So Guru Gobind Singh had one disciple called Bhai Kanhaiya. Guru Gobind Singh gave him the job of taking water to the battlefield and giving it to the people who wanted it. Guru Gobind Singh did not tell him that he should give the water only to the Sikh disciples and not to the royal army. He didn't ask that question. And since Guru Gobind Singh was manifested within that disciple and his inner veil was lifted, he did not give water only to the Sikh people. He also gave the water to the Mughal soldiers. So the warriors, the other disciples of Guru Gobind Singh, complained to the master, saying, "Master, we injure and kill the Mughal soldiers, and Kanhaiya gives them water. And again, they get up and start fighting with us." So Guru Gobind Singh called for Kanhaiya and asked him why there was a complaint against him. Kanhaiya said, "Master, you did not tell me that I should give water only to the Sikh disciples. And also, I do not see any Mughal army anywhere, because wherever I look, I see only your form. I see you present everywhere. So that is why I give water to everyone. It makes no difference to me whether he is my enemy or my friend, because I am seeing only you within everyone." Guru Gobind Singh was so pleased with his answer that he told him to continue giving water to everyone. And he also gave him some bandages and other things and said, wherever you feel the need of these things, you can use them. So this was because of the love that Kanhaiya used to see Guru Gobind Singh, both in the enemy and in his friends. It's very easy to say such things, but it's very difficult to do it practically. And only he within whom the real love is manifested can do this. When great Mansur went within, he became intoxicated, because often I have said that when the soul goes in the Banvar Gufa, she gets so much intoxication that she starts dancing, and these words come out by themselves. I am the same as God is. So when Mansur went within and saw his soul, the form of the Lord, within, he also started saying outwardly that he was the same as God. But the orthodox religious people didn't like that, so they boycotted him. And then they wanted to punish him. They wanted to put him to death. So when he was being killed, at that time they took out his eyes. And God asked him, should I protect you? If you want, I can kill all these people who are tormenting you, who are going to kill you. But Mansur replied, no. If you want to shower grace, why don't you shower grace on all these people and open their eyes so that they may know who I am? And he prayed for the people who were killing him because he said, they do not know what they are doing. So this is not because of the love which was manifested within him that he also prayed for those people who were killing him. So is this not because of the love which was manifested within him that he also prayed for those people who were killing him? It is very difficult for a person to forgive anyone who is doing anything bad to him. But if the love is manifested, then it becomes very easy. Because within everyone, in the enemy as well as the friend, one sees the master. So because that love was manifested, Mansur told Almighty Lord that those people should not be punished. Instead, they should be forgiven. And he prayed for them. But when does this happen? This happens only when the love is manifested in us, and only when we die while living. To die while living means that the disciple loses his identity, his own self, and he becomes the master. The master is awakened. The master is manifested in him. And that master speaks through him, functions through him. Only when one surrenders completely to the master is this condition achieved. Only then this happens. And after that, the disciple says, Master, now it is up to you whether to give me hunger, whether to keep me satisfied, whether to give me poverty, or whether to keep me rich. Whatever you want, you can give it to me because now I am not here. It is all you. If you maintain my reputation, it is your reputation being maintained. If you make me be criticized by the people, it's not me being criticized, it is you who is being criticized. So when the real love for the master is awakened, when the real love is manifested within, then the disciple finds it very easy to function in this world, and he functions in a much better manner. Because when the love is manifested within the disciple, in fact, at that time, the disciple is dead. Only the master within him is alive. God is love, and since we are the essence of God, we are also the essence of love. By doing meditation, that love is manifested within us. It's a natural thing that if you love someone, the remembrance of him will start coming in you automatically, and you will start having his vision, his form, in front of your eyes, even when you don't try for it. So by doing the meditation, that love is manifested within us, because God is love and we are the essence of God. We are the essence of that love. And when we have the love for God, when that love is manifested within us, then the fear of him whom we love is also awakened in us. The saints and Mahatmas are the ocean of love, and they come into this world carrying the message of love. When they come into this world, they give only love to the people. They don't come for any particular country or community. They come for the whole universe, the whole world. And they come only for giving love. That is why, in the bonds of love, they keep us tied together. We people hate each other or fight with each other only because the love is not present between us. Only because of the absence of love, you see people fighting with each other everywhere in the world. Master Kripal used to say, if you throw one little particle of love into any home, that home will turn into heaven. Kabir says, Kabir is standing in the marketplace praying for everyone. He has no enmity for anyone. He is the friend of all. So we should meditate, because by doing meditation, the love is manifested within us. Our master was an ocean of love, and because of that love, he collected people of all different religions, societies, and communities on one common platform. He brought everybody because of that love. I've always said that ever since my childhood, I was a devotee of the Lord, and I have received only love from him as my inheritance, because I had asked only for love. So we should also meditate and manifest that love within us, which our master used to teach, and give to the people, because we have been put on the path of love, and on this path we should have love for everyone. You know that when Russell Perkins first came here and asked for permission to print the Sant Bani magazine and give the message to the Sangat in the West and to start doing the work, I told him about this love. I told him that the love of our great master, who was the ocean of love, is very vast and very holy and pure. And we do not have to pollute this love with criticism and other bad things in which the people were involved then. I told him that we should never imitate what people are doing. No matter if people criticize us, we should only give the message of love as it is, and we shouldn't pollute it with criticism. And I'm very grateful to him that he obeyed me, even though many instances came when he was tempted to forget that love because the circumstances were such. But I always reminded him of the love of the Master, and I'm very grateful that he maintained that promise that he had made to me. And the love of the Master was not polluted. So that is why we should all meditate, because our Master was the ocean of love, and only by doing the meditation and remembering him can we manifest that love within us. It is only because of this love that we are receptive to his grace, and it's only because of his grace that we are sitting here in his remembrance and love. So I hope that all of you will do your meditations, because love is manifested within us only by doing the meditation. And we have been listening to a satsang that Sanchi gave April 1st of 1986, and this is in Group 7 in Rajasthan of that year.
Avatare Maya Tandiyam Sudata Sudata
ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਦੇਖੋ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਅਸੀਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਸੁਣੀਆਂ ਸੁਣਾਈਆਂ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਨਰਕਾਂ ਸਵਰਗਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਗੇ, ਨਰਕਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਡਰਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੱਸਦੇ, ਸਵਰਗਾਂ ਦਾ ਲਾਲਚ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਗੇ। ਅਸੀਂ ਜੋ ਆਪ ਅੱਖੀਂ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਨਰਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀ ਕਸ਼ਟ ਜੀਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਭੋਗਣੇ ਪੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਸਵਰਗਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਦੇਵੀ ਦੇਵਤੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਪੰਜਾਂ ਆਗਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਪੰਜਾਂ ਡਾਕੂਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਬਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ। ਮੌਤ ਪਦੇਸ਼ ਉੱਥੇ ਵੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਵੀ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਜਾਮੇ ਨੂੰ ਲੋਚਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਜਾਮਾ ਮਿਲੇ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੀਏ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਨਾਮ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਥਾਂ ਸੁੱਖ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕਿਸੇ ਥਾਂ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ। ਅਗਰ ਨਾਮ ਨਾਲ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਜੁੜ ਗਿਆ ਜਾਂ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਦੇਸ਼ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਗਿਆ, ਅਗਰ ਸੁਖੀ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਹੀ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦ ਡੀਅਰ ਵਨਸ, ਵੀ ਆਰ ਨਾਟ ਟੈਲਿੰਗ ਯੂ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਹੈਲਸ ਐਂਡ ਹੈਵਨਸ ਫਰੋਮ ਐਨੀ ਹੀਅਰਸੇ। We are not trying to frighten you from the difficulties of the hells, and we are not trying to tempt you to go to the heavens. We are just telling you that what are the things in the hells and heavens, because what from what we have seen with our own eyes. He says that even in the heavens there are the fires of these five passions. There is no one over there in the heavens who is saved from these five passions. Even the gods and goddesses who are there in the heavens, even they are longing, they yearn for the human birth, because they do not have any peace, they do not have any peace or happiness over there, because they do not have the Naam. He said that except for those who have connected themselves with Naam, except for those who do the devotion of Naam, there is no one who can be called as peaceful and happy.
Naam bina sukh nahi sar par hariya aave hai jaai anik mar mar janam te bin buje sab vaad
ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਅਨੇਕਾਂ ਕੌਮਾਂ ਆਈਆਂ, ਅਨੇਕਾਂ ਕੌਮਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਏ ਗਏ ਜੰਮੇ ਮਰੇ, ਇਹੀ ਸਾਡੀ ਰੀਤ ਚੱਲੀ ਆਈ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਬਗੈਰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਜੁੜਿਆਂ, ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕੀਤਿਆਂ ਅਨੇਕਾਂ ਵਾਰੀ ਆਏ ਗਏ, ਔਰ ਇਸ ਇਨਸਾਨੀ ਜਾਮੇ ਨੂੰ ਕੌਡੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਣੇ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਬਕਾਰਾਂ ਚ ਰੋਲ ਗਏ।
Now he said that many communities, many religions came, we came in many different communities and religions, we went back from this world and again we came. This is like a tradition which we have been following since ages and ages. Without getting ourselves connected with the Naam of Lord, without getting the Naam, we always wasted the precious human birth shells.
ਬਿਨ ਬੂਜੇ ਸਭ ਵਾਦ ਜੋਨੀ ਪਰਮ ਤੇ ਜਿਨ ਕੋ ਪੈ ਦਿਆਲ ਤਿੰਨ ਸਾਧੂ ਸੰਗ ਪਿਆ ਅਮਰਤ ਹਰ ਕਾ ਨਾਮ
ਜਿਹਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਧੂ ਸੰਗਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਿਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਸਾਧੂ ਜਦ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਜਪਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਸੰਗਤ ਕਰਕੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਜਪਿਆ, ਮੁਕਤੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕੀਤੀ, ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ।
He upon whom God is gracious and God showers grace, first of all He brings him in the company of the sadhu, the company of the master, and when the master showers grace on him, he connects him with the Naam. So here he says that first God was gracious on us that he brought us in the company of the master, and then master showered grace on us, and only because of the grace and kindness of the master we were able to do the devotion of Naam.
अमृत हर का नाम तिनी जनी जप लिया कूजह कूट असंख बहुत अनंत की जिस बुझाए आप नेड़ा तेस ही।
गुरु अर्जन देव जी महाराज कहंदे है कि साड़ी कोई खोज छोटी जी नहीं सी, असी करोड़ा अरबा जगह खोजियां परमात्मा वास्ते, लेकिन वो किसी जगह बाहर ना मिलिया जिदे ते दया करदा है, मेहर करदा है, उनु जिस्म दे अंदर ही दस पा दिंदा है के प्यारिया मैं ता तेरे अंदर बैठा है, बाहर कास नु ढूंढदा है।
गुरु अर्जन देव जी महाराज से दैट माई सर्च वॉज नॉट वेरी स्मॉल और वेरी शॉर्ट, आई ट्राई टू लुक फॉर हिम आउटसाइड in millions and billions of places, but he was not to be found outside. Upon whom he is gracious, he makes him meet him, he makes him see him in his within. He tells him that, dear one, why are you wandering outside? Why you are going here and there? I am within you, I am nearer than the nearest.
Yes, bujhai aap neera tes विसर नहीं दातार अपना नाम देओ गुण गावा दिन रात नानक चाहो हो।
हुण आप परमात्मा अगे फरियाद करदे है तू मैनू वसार नहीं भुल नहीं, मैं नाम ही मंगदा है, मेरे दिल विच खुशी है कि मैनू नाम मिल गया, हुण मैं दिन रात तेरे नाम नू जपदा रवां, तेरे नाम ना जुड़िया रवां, ए मैनू वध तो वध खुशी है। जद मैं नाम ना जुड़ जाना है, अभ्यास विच बैठ जाना है, जद मैं नाम नहीं जपदा गा, अभ्यास च नहीं बैठदा गा, मेरा तन मुर्दे दी तरह है।
Now he is praying to Almighty Lord. He says that, oh Lord, never forget me, never leave me alone. I am very happy that you have given me the naam. You should give me the naam. I am very happy that you have given me the naam. Now I find great happiness in doing the devotion of the naam. Whenever I am connected with the naam, whenever I sit down to do the devotion of naam, then I am very pleased, I am very happy. I get the life only by doing the devotion of naam. When I do not do the devotion of naam, my body is like the dead body.
ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਅੰਦਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਉਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਲੱਗਦੇ ਹੈ, ਬੈਠਣਾ ਔਖਾ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਅੰਦਰ ਸੁਰਤ ਜਾਣੀ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਫਿਰ ਹਟਣਾ ਵੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਫਿਰ ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਰੀਰ ਨੂੰ ਹਲਕਾ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ ਉਦੋਂ ਫੌਰਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਥੋੜਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰ ਲਈਏ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਭਿਆਸੀ ਦੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ। ਅਮਲੀ ਜੀਏ ਅਮਲ ਖਾਏ ਤਿਉਂ ਹਰ ਜਨ ਜੀਏ ਨਾਮ ਤੇ ਆਏ।
ਐਸ ਲੌਂਗ ਐਸ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਗੋ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਵਿਦਿਨ, we find it very difficult to do the meditation. But once we have gone in the within, then we do not find it very difficult to do the meditation. Because after that, whenever we want to become relaxed, whenever we want to get some, whenever we want to become refreshed, then we say that let us sit for some time. Because when we start going in the within, instead of getting tired by doing the meditation, we feel refreshed, we become refreshed. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj describes the condition of the meditator by saying that just like the person who is addicted to some kind of intoxicant lives with those intoxicants, in the same way the meditator of Naam lives when he does the meditation of Naam.
Our closing bhajan is Sanchi's bhajan, Aya Kirpala Aryo Ni, page 75. O friends, Kirpal has come, the enlightened one of Sawan. I am searching for you from door to door. May I meet my beloved Lord. My condition is bad. I'm weeping in the separation. My beautiful one came and removed the pain of separation. I have searched for him in all the world. Nobody will tell me the whereabouts of my beloved. I'm crying bitterly, and nothing is in my control. Every day I weep and remember him. People call me mad. Folding both my hands, I'm pleading to you. I do not ask for anything else. I want only the support of your Nam. You showered grace on the souls and started the custom of satsang. O beautiful one, I became yours when your arrow pierced my heart. Hail, beloved Kripal, you have protected the honor of Ajaib. My good fortune awakened when the divine light came to my home. O friends, Kripal has come, the enlightened one of Sawan.
Aya Kripal Yarioni Chana Sawan Darushanai. Aya Kripal Yarioni Chana Sawan Darushanai. Dar dar fir baladi kite mil jai mere asaya. Hal mera bura arioni me rondi vicha judaya. Dar dar fir baladi kite mil jai mere asaya. Hal mera bura arioni me rondi vicha judaya. Pira vichore di mere sonene ake tai. Aya kirpali arioni chana Sawan darushanai. Aya kirpal yarioni chana Sawan darushanai. Me sara jagadundaliya dasa piyadi kohina pave. Rondi firataha marke mera vasana kohi vijave. Me sara jagadunda liadasa piyadi kohina pave. Rondi firataha marke mera vasana kohi vijave. Nitarova yada karamenu akana loka shudai. Aya kirpal yarioni chana sawana darushanai. Aya kirpal yarioni chana sawana darushanai. Dove hat jor jor ke tere age vasate pava. Hor kuch mangda nahi tere naam dayasra chava. Dove hat jor jor ke tere age vasate pava. Hor kuch mangda nahi tere naam dayasra chava. Daya kari jivate sat sangat rita chalai. Aya kirpal yarioni chana sawan darushanai. Aya kirpal yarioni chana sawan darushanai. ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਹੋ ਗਏ ਉਦੋ ਸੋਨੀਆ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਕਲੇਜੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਾਜਿਆ ਧਨ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਪਿਆਰੀਆ ਰੱਖ ਲੈ ਤੇ ਅਜੇਬ ਦੀ ਲਾਜਿਆ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਹੋ ਗਏ ਉਦੋ ਸੋਨੀਆ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਕਲੇਜੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਾਜਿਆ ਧਨ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਪਿਆਰੀਆ ਰੱਖ ਲੈ ਤੇ ਅਜੇਬ ਦੀ ਲਾਜਿਆ ਜਗ ਮੇਰੇ ਭਗ ਵਿਰ ਨੋ ਕਰ ਜੋਤਾ ਇਲਾਹੀ ਆਈ ਆਇਆ ਕਿਰਪਾਲੀ ਅਰਿਯੋਨੀ ਚਨ ਸਾਵਨ ਦਾਰੁਸ਼ਨਾਈ ਆਇਆ ਕਿਰਪਾਲੀ ਅਰਿਯੋਨੀ ਚਨ ਸਾਵਨ ਦਾਰੁਸ਼ਨਾਈ
O beautiful one, I became yours when your arrow pierced my heart. Hail, beloved Kripal. You have protected the honor of Ajab. My good fortune awakened when the divine light came to my home. O friends, Kripal has come, the enlightened one of Sawan. May God bless us all.